by Laura Merrill. Laurel is a current doctoral student at the University of South Florida in the Department of Community and Family Health. She holds an MPH from USF in Global Health Practice. She currently works for Dr. Ellen Daly at the UCF Center for Transdisciplinary Research on Women's Health. Her interests include women's health and maternal and child health. Her previous work has included the secondary prevention of disordered eating by oral health providers and the effect of physical activity on birth outcomes. And her current study looks at the relationship between positive youth development, short and long-term developmental outcomes, and health risk and promoting behaviors. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll try to be as brief as possible because I know we want to get out of here and get home. So I do have to say that this study was done with Dr. Rita DeBate, and Jen Black was originally supposed to give this oral presentation, but wasn't able to attend. So I will hopefully try to do my best by her. I have no relationships to disclose. And so what we're really talking about is sort of adolescent health. So when we in earlier research on adolescent issues that affect adolescents, they really came from a deficit-based model of looking at those health behaviors that we want to prevent in adolescents and the health outcomes associated with them. And really this deficit-based model kind of really considered the time when youth are developing their adolescents as this period where a lot of bad things are occurring. So, you know, we think of our children when they're young, you know, they're so sweet and nice, and then sometime in adolescence, sort of the train goes off the rails, and they develop these bad behaviors. So some of these behaviors that lead to poor health outcomes would be like smoking, drinking, participating in risky sexual behavior. So we really viewed this as a negative time period. And sort of earlier programs and interventions that wanted to prevent these risky behaviors really sort of said, you know, don't do these behaviors. Just don't do them. So it was kind of like, you know, wagging the proverbial finger at adolescents. And I don't know about you, but in my adolescence, if an adult was telling me to do something or to not do something, well, that's the very first thing I was going to think about doing. So we really kind of came from this deficit base with adolescents. But the problem was that a lot of these programs, let me go back. Problem was a lot of these programs, they really weren't evaluated for their effectiveness. And where they were, we saw that there was limited effectiveness. So we think about DARE and Nancy Reagan's Just Say No to Drugs campaign. We really weren't seeing the outcomes that we had hoped for. And where we were seeing even limited outcomes, they were really just behavior specific. And even though we were trying to teach adolescents and youth to say no to drugs, to not participate in underage drinking, and to not participate in risky sexual behavior, it really wasn't preparing them for a lot of sort of situations that they were going to find themselves in adulthood. So being problem-free is not being fully prepared. The other thing about these deficit-based programs is that they really weren't capitalizing on sort of this inherent strength and resiliency in adolescence. So even though we may think teenagers are, you know, a little bit crazy, we don't understand what they're doing, this is a period of time where they're energetic and creative, and we really weren't capitalizing on that. So we see this paradigm shift into sort of more of a youth development of programming. So positive youth development is the intentional process of equipping youth with support, relationships, experiences, resources, and opportunities. So we want to increase their emotional, their intellectual, their mental, and their spiritual well-being. And in order to do that, we give them skills and experiences to hopefully become productive, socially minded, healthy citizens in many aspects of their life. So some examples of positive youth development programs would be Girls on the Run, which is a positive youth development program with girls in grades 3rd to 5th grade, which sort of increases these internal assets among them. There's also First Tee, which is sort of a golf-based program. 4-H is another example of positive youth development. And though there are a lot of sort of sports-based positive youth development programs, there's a wide sort of breadth and depth. So we have some that are like arts-based, music, things like that. And we know that adolescent health is an important public health goal. And in fact, Healthy People 2020 is the first Healthy People that has its own adolescent health-related objectives. So for example, increasing the proportion of adolescents who participate in extracurricular and or after school activities, and increase the proportion of adolescents who are connected to a parent or other positive adult caregiver. So the PYD programs are sort of predicated on this theoretical framework that if we strengthen the contextual supports in which adolescents live, and we provide them with opportunities and experiences in a positive atmosphere, then that changes the context in which they live, so their family, school, and community environment, and we're increasing these internal assets that then promote short-term outcomes. And these internal assets, this is the theoretical framework, are the 5 C's. And I'll talk a little bit more about those, but connectedness, competence, character, confidence, and caring. So if we increase those, then we are going to have positive health behaviors. So decreased smoking, decreased risky sexual activity, increased physical activity. And all of those will then lead to long-term improvements in emotional, behavioral, social, cognitive, and physical well-being. So those 5 C's I was talking about, we have competence, which is social, cognitive, academic, and vocational competence. So your interpersonal skills, how well can you negotiate conflict, cognitive abilities, so your ability to critically think, analyze, your ability to set long-term goals for yourself. These are all very important. Confidence is your self-worth, self-efficacy, your sense of identity that you have within yourself. Connections are the ability to make positive bonds, not with just other individuals, but even other organizations and institutions, so your school. Character would be your respect for like the social and cultural mores of the society within which you live, having sort of standards for correct behavior, your sense of right and wrong, and caring would be sort of, you know, sympathy and integrity, empathy for others. You do see 6-1, which is contributions, but it's not necessarily always included as sort of a 6C, so we're really not going to talk about that today. So there are a lot of PYD programs out there, but they've never really been, this framework, this 5C framework, has never really been evaluated. We think it works in theory, but we've never really sort of done any testing to see if that's actually true. So the purpose of our study was to provide empirical evidence with regard to the PYD 5C conceptual framework. So we want to investigate if context and these internal assets are associated with health behaviors in adolescents and young adults. So we did this by doing secondary data analysis using Wave 1 through Wave 4 of the National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health. So it's commonly known as AdHealth, and there's been a bajillion studies on this data set. And AdHealth is a nationally representative a longitudinal cohort study. So Wave 1 occurred when students were in between 7th and 12th grade in 1994. Wave 2 was just a year later when they were in between 8th and 12th grades. Wave 3 is when they're young adults, so this period of time where Leah was talking about, they're in college. And then wave 4 is sort of when they're in sort of later young adulthood. So we only looked at the 10,120 participants who completed all four waves, because there, of course, were lost to follow-up with participants. And then we excluded participants missing any key variables or where the sample weights weren't included. So that left us a total sample size of 8,111 participants. So what we did is we created an we made a measure, and we did that by doing exploratory factor analysis. For those statisticians out in the crowd, that we did principal axis factoring, Promax rotation with Kaiser normalization, our extraction criteria of eigenvalues over 1, and list-wise case exclusion. And then we, our data analysis to see if there were health behavior outcomes related to the 5 C's, we did weighted multivariate logistic regressions. So how we made our measure is we went to the AdHealth data set, and we looked for questions that sort of mapped on to these 5 C's. And we did that based on previous youth development scales that are out there. And we had an initial pool of 50 items. So for example, an item could be, you know, you have a lot to be proud of, or you like yourself just the way you are. And we, again, sorted them based on the 5 C's. So what we found was, is when we, after our EFA, we had 10 resulting factors consisting of 35 items that were significant that aligned with the 5 C's. And these 10 factors and 35 items explained 42% of the total variance. We had an overall Cronbach's alpha of 0.83. And our measures for the analyses, our predictor was their continuous sum score of all these 35 PYD items at wave 1, and then the outcomes that we were testing for in waves 2 through 4 were smoking. So had they smoked any cigarettes in the past month, binge drinking, had they drank 5 or more drinks at one time in the past year, physical activity, were they physically active 3 or more times in the past week. And we did control for some contextual variables. So at the individual level, we controlled for if their parent was a binge drinker, if their parent was a smoker, or if there was a smoker in the household, some SES variables. At the community level, we controlled for median household income, the percentage of people over the age of 25 without a high school diploma in the community, unemployment rate, the distance to physical activity resources, the overall crime rate, and specifically a violent crime rate. So we see the prevalence of these behaviors at the different waves. So at wave 2, 35% of individuals smoke, 46% binge drink, and 69% were physically active. We see that at wave 3, smoking and drinking behaviors increased, and physical activity behaviors decreased. And that at wave 4, again, smoking and drinking behaviors increased, but then physical activity behaviors increased again. So when we did our regressions, we found that higher levels at wave 2, higher levels of positive youth development in adolescents, so they had those higher levels on those 5 C's, was protective against smoking, binge drinking, and predictive of physical activity 1 year later. So this is a short-term outcome, right? So then when we went to look at longer-term outcomes, we found that those higher levels of PYD in adolescents was protective against smoking, predictive of physical activity, but was no longer associated with binge drinking. And then when we go to wave 4, we see the same thing. So protective against smoking, predictive of physical activity, but no longer associated with binge drinking. So in conclusion, this sort of exploratory study that we did, we found that there were that the more high levels of PYD you have, those internal assets, predicted smoking behavior and physical activity at all three waves, so in the short term and in the long term, but it was only predictive of binge drinking in the short term. I will say, though, that for smoking behaviors and binge drinking behaviors, when you survey them at waves 3 and 4, those are legal activities at that point in time. It's not illegal for them to be doing that. The other thing I will say is binge drinking just asks yes or no whether or not you had had 5 or more drinks at one point during the past year. So it could be your birthday, it could be New Year's Eve, and that would count. It doesn't really sort of measure if it's chronic binge drinking. So there might be some measurement issue involved there. So the implications for public health is that this does provide empirical evidence for the association between these PYD internal assets, the 5 C's, and adoption and maintenance of some healthy behaviors. And we hope to do additional research in the future just to really sort of, really fine-tune at this issue, probably doing some structural equation modeling in the future. We also want to look at other health behaviors like condom use and unintended pregnancy and really sort of also look at how things are measured to see if maybe there are even stronger associations. So I want to acknowledge the holders of the Ad Health data set at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill for allowing us access to this great data set. And thank you.